Here, standing here during worship, a little mellow in here today. It's okay to be mellow. But I'm going to go back to, man, this is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. Right now in my private time, I'm reading about Jeremiah and the prophecies that, you know, because the Israelites weren't following God, that Jeremiah, God is speaking through Jeremiah. And let me say, Jeremiah was not a popular person. And what they were saying is, Babylon's going to come and get you because you're not obeying God. So they do go into captivity. But I love this. And I've preached on this so often, Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, when they came back from captivity, when they came back from all the gloom and all the slavery, etc., we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongues with shouts of joy. And my question to you today, who is Jesus Christ to you? Do you have that joy? Even, forgive me, when life is really hard, do you have that inner joy that nothing can possibly take, because your faith knows that He will make a way where there is no way? So today I want to encourage you. Grab a hold of Jesus. Now, to get to my message, we're going to talk about, today I'm going to speak from Psalm 133, and the title of the message is Value Unity. Psalm 133, behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Lord, we're talking about unity today. Lord, we need unity. We live in a world full of chaos. We live in a country that is so divided and dysfunctional, Lord. But as our brother Anthony talked on last week, you're the only answer. Lord, we're talking about unity, and I had Mike speak on it a couple weeks ago, Lord, because you're going to do something in this church, and we need to be ready. It's not that we're doing anything wrong now or we're in a bad place. That's not the case whatsoever. But you're telling us a new day is coming. And mankind, Lord, when change comes, we can be resistant. We can, dare I say it, murmur and complain. Help us to cherish what you cherish. In your name, amen. You know, over the years, Melly and I have done a lot of pre-marriage counseling. And it's hard when you first sit down with a couple to tell them it's not always going to be hunky-dory. But I've learned a trick to bring reality. I talk about who is going to do the dishes. Oh, you laugh. We have witnessed quite a few arguments. Who's going to do the dishes? You know, life is good. We're going to get married and skip happily ever after. You got to be ready. So why am I talking about that? We can look around and say, life's good. We're going to be okay. What happens when God does something different? Who's going to do the dishes? What if God does something What if I make a decision as a pastor and you think I'm local? How do you handle it? Unified? Or murmuring? And one of the things you have to realize looking at these verses is we're talking about unity because God values it. And what I'm talking about today is unity is a fragrance of life. And the first point I want to make this morning, unity among believers pleases God. And if you look at the first verse, David writes, "Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters dwell in unity." The word behold is saying, look at this. This is rare. I want you to take note of it. We don't see this too often. So he goes, behold, look how good and pleasant it is. God wants us to live in unity. As I said in my prayer, we live in a country that is divided. It's separated. It's dysfunctional. There is hatred and there is strife. And whoever wins any election is never the answer. Jesus is the And I want to talk about one thing for a second. Actually, I'll wait on that. But the thing I want to say is I watched Anthony speak last week. I love the message. And he talked about Paul, Romans 7 and 8. I do the things I don't want to do. The things I know I should do, I don't. And what was his answer? It has to be God. We can't have a self-reliance where I'm going to get this accomplished because then you look to yourself and God can't bless that. God wants us to say, God, I can do this, but only with your help. Unity is rare. How often do we see it in the church? People come and go because you do things maybe they're not 100% in agreement with. I mean, I'm sorry. We want the country to be unified. Newsflash, the church of God doesn't live in unity. Now, there's some things that, as a church, very essential. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible is the absolute word of God. Things like that we cling to. What don't I cling to? Do you have to speak in tongues in order to have the Holy Spirit? Once saved, always saved. Now, it's important to know things like this and to have a point of view, but guess what? Whether I agree with the gifts for today or not, because I have church friends that don't, we're both going to heaven. But if they don't believe Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven through repentance and forgiveness of sins, they're not going. So there's some essentials we have to cling to. How good and pleasant it is. And I love, you know, John 17. This is Jesus. He prays for me. My Savior prays for me and he prays for you. He says, God, I do not ask for these only, disciples, but for those who will believe in me through their word, that's us, that they may be one, church, they may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they be one even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. We are here for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not here to make a name for New Covenant Community Church. We're not here to let our opinions be known. We are here for the Lord. I had to laugh. You know, I went to the service yesterday, and, you know, if you come into this room, you might say, I bet you they used to use that stage. And you're not going to believe this. I've heard people talk about it. What was Mike Bartholomew talked about a couple weeks ago about one guy liked Christmas and one didn't. And you all were laughing, and I'm sitting here going, if you only knew the headaches some of you have given me because of stuff like that. But we can laugh about it. But you know what blessed me yesterday? I had a number of people that used to go to this church, you know, Wendy Swanwater. Man, I really like what the church looks like now. I said, man, that makes me happy, Lord. But you know what I found out? Jesus doesn't care. He cares that we look up, not is the carpet the right color? Is the right color cloth on the cross? It should be purple. Oh, you guys laugh, but I put up with that way too much. Well, let's move on so I don't digress and get myself in trouble. The same unity, think about this, that Jesus Christ had with God the Father is available to us. If we don't live that way, it is on us. It's not on Him. When we murmur, when we complain, when we speak ill of somebody, God the Father will never bless that. And I want to say carefully, if you're struggling in life, the first thing you need to do is go on your knees and say, God, what am I doing? Is it anything I've done? And if it is, you repent and move forward and let Him move. God loves unity. You know, unity means we love and care for one another. It means we're patient with one another through all of our faults and all of our blemishes. Unity is never perfection. And guess what? It doesn't demand perfect agreement. I remember when I was an assistant pastor to a couple guys, they would make some decisions. And me and all my wisdom, I knew the decision was wrong. Why? Because I didn't like it. So what did I do? I never talked to anybody about it. Pastor, can we talk one-on-one? Pete, Mike, whomever. I talked to them. This is my point of view. I knew they were probably going to bow down and say, oh my gosh, why didn't I think of that? And they would say, let me pray about that. And sometimes they'd say, you know what? I heard what you said. Let's tweak it. Then sometimes they would say, I prayed about it. This is what God wants me to do. You know what I did when I walked out their office? I owned their point of view. And I'm going to tell you what the devil did almost every single time. He would put people in my path that had my point of view. So I had to wrestle. Do I look to them and say, I agree with you? Or no, I would say through gritted teeth, they hear from God, I'm going to follow them. If we meet this way, if we meet this way, if we meet this way, it doesn't matter as long as we're here for Jesus Christ. Changes are going to come. Now, I want to say one thing. I'm not saying that my generation has done things wrong. When I first spoke here, I think it was January 25th, 2010, I said, the older I get, the less I want to do. I am here to get my replacement in place. I am not here to cling to this office forever. That isn't kingdom building, that is me building. God, and what I'm saying to my generation is, we need to step aside and let the youth rise up. But youth, you need us. You need our experience, you need our insight. But the fact of the matter is, we need a multi-generational church, which we don't have right now, for the most part. And that's, but God wants us to make changes. And I'm not saying New Covenant, you've been fantastic. The love that New Covenant has for people is amazing. The things that I heard because of the service yesterday and the service you all did, I want to say it's fantastic, the testimony. But God is saying, are you prepared for a new thing? Unity occurs when we don't allow our opinions or our style to interfere with what God wants to do. John is telling us, when we're in unity, When people on the outside can see that we care for one another, that makes an impact. I remember up north, I went to this wedding, and I'm talking to this woman afterward, and I told her who I was, and I pastored River Life. She goes, "Man, your church really loves one another." And once we got that in place, and when I first went there, it wasn't like that. It was very dysfunctional. And I remember God said, "You got to evangelize these people." I said, "They're saved." But we did. We started doing socials. We started evangelizing. And they became one. And that's what God's doing here. It's a good thing. I'm tired of being Saul. Remember when Samuel said, "Wait, I'll be back." Things got rough. People started complaining, started leaving. So Saul did the sacrifice he wasn't supposed to do. I'm tired of God telling me to wait because I want to do that sacrifice, but I know I can't do what God's not telling me to do. So I'm excited. I loved what Anthony said last week. Who will you listen to? It has to be God. We are all in a battle over control. Who's it going to be, you or God? Next point I want to make, accept the invitation. Pretty soon the holiday season will be upon us. Don't you love family gatherings? Oh, I know in your family you never have any friction between relatives. I know you sit and you have, everybody gets together. And it's just a good time. Even Aunt Gertrude. Family gatherings are a great reminder of how much we need grace. I was at a family gathering a couple years ago. Somebody made a very vulgar comment about conservatives. And I wanted to say, yeah, that would be me. But I didn't. I was quiet. In my head, I was choking them and banging their head against the floor, but it wasn't physical, so I'm thinking I'm okay when I repented. Parents, don't you look forward to jumping in your car and driving 20 hours with your children? Because they're just going to get along the whole time. They're going to smile. They're going to sing. And life is going to be wonderful. Isn't it great when your kids get along? Doesn't it really stink when they don't? Don't you hate that? Don't you hate that when you see that your kids really don't like each other? And they're complaining and they're murmuring and they're talking? How do you think God is? There's New Covenant again, complaining about the size of the room or how it's set up. Or the worship, or this or that. How do you think God feels when... Did you see what the idiot pastor did with the clicker again this week? You think God's ever going to bless that? Well, how come we're not moving forward? Do you have a mirror? Look at the Bible. Mike said it a couple weeks ago, Mike Bartholomew. Who, by the way, I want to show you how forgiving I am. I forgive the man for giving me COVID. The first brothers. How did that work out? I'm going to kill you. I mean, my brothers and I had arguments, but we're still breathing and above room temperature. How about Joseph and his brothers? Should we kill him? Because he was a younger brother, and he's really an idiot with some of the things he said. But do we kill him or we sell him into slavery? My brothers, Taney and John, didn't like me being the youngest at the time, but they never tried to sell me. So what am I trying to say? We're not above conflict. We're not above gossiping and murmuring and complaining. We are all imperfect people who wrestle with self-interest versus God's interest. Church, this is what I was going to talk about earlier. We need to be a place of safety. I was listening to, I think it was Focus on the Family. I love what this person was saying. Church needs to be safe. We had an election this week. I don't know if you caught that or not. And they were saying, you better have on some steel-toe shoes because I'm stomping. When you go on Facebook, when you go on social media and you complain, you are being militant and you are not opening the door for people to want to talk to you. But this is how I feel. Guess what? There's a lot of things in this head that I never push send. Because I want people to know me for Jesus Christ. I want everybody from any walk of life, from any lifestyle, to know I'm a safe person to talk to without compromise, but that I am going to love them. And when I put stuff up that's very self-centered and opinionated, I close the door for me to impact their life for Jesus Christ. Shame on me. That is not suffering for the sake of the gospel. That's suffering for the sake of self. Are there issues like right to life? Of course we're going to stick up for and talk about. But what I'm saying is we live in a world of people that are not Christian. Why do you think they should act like Christians when they're not? It's hard enough for you and me to act that way. Don't put that on them. Ask God to show you how to interact with them so that you can tell them truth. We need to be a place of safety. We need to be a place where we extend love and we extend grace. We have to be a place where people can be honest, where we can confess sin, but we can find mercy, we can find support, and we can find strength. The unity that God wants us to have deteriorates when we look to ourselves. And Jesus Christ isn't our absolute focus. We're not in the Word. We're not in prayer. We're not in fellowship. Philippians 2:3 says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't be selfish. You're talking to somebody, they're telling you a story, boom, you have a thought in your head, you got a really good story that's very similar, and you can tell them. Don't. They don't have to hear about you. Don't try to impress people. I remember once Mike Stahl, we went to a pastor's meeting up north, and we're driving. He goes, you know, one thing about pastor's meetings, they're full of pastors, and pastors like to talk. So I'm not going to talk today. I'm going to make myself be quiet. So for 2 hours, he just sat there and he didn't say a word. He said, sometimes I just got to really work with myself to be quiet. And as I'm saying this, some of you are thinking, I hope this person in the room listens to that. But we got to think of other people better than ourselves. So when God asks us to move in a new way, we got to be unified. Do you remember years ago we had a Friday night meeting? Can't remember what we used to call it. Refuge or something like that. I'm talking to somebody about it. I said, I want to start meeting Friday nights. And they said to me, well, you're still going to meet Sunday. I said, not if God tells me not to. Don't get nervous. I think we're going to still meet Sunday mornings. I'd meet Tuesday morning at 6:30 in the morning if God told me to. Because guess what? If I meet on day other than Saturday, I'm still going to heaven. I looked through the Bible, even the King James, it does not say thou hast to meet on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. What am I trying to say? There's some things that really don't matter. Do you remember 20-some years ago? You had to wear a tie when you came to church. And I've always thought ties are really demonic instruments of torture, so I'm glad that we've been set free because you didn't go to heaven without a suit and tie on. So what am I trying to say? Let's let God be God and let's trust Him. We need to prayerfully seek God in all circumstances. And when God moves in a new way, guess what? We're going to be uncomfortable. because it's new. But you can't murmur, you can't complain. If you have a realistic point of view that you have a concern, then please do the right thing and talk to us. You know, Jesus in John 17 prays for our unity because it's so important to him. You know, Anthony said last week, we have to live with purpose. Let's live with God's purpose. Live with purpose. I want it to be God's. Faith brings peace. Having peace doesn't mean a lack of anxiety. How about Jesus in the garden just before he gets arrested? He knows he's going to suffer. He was begging God, please let me not go through this. Did he have peace? Absolute peace in his heart. Peace doesn't mean we're void of anxiety. In fact, I think that's where faith comes in, when we take faith over fear. So we need to accept the invitation. The last point I want to make is God treasures unity. You know, it's a powerful demonstration of faith. I love what Psalm 133 says. It is like the precious oil on the head running down the beard on the beard of Aaron. They would, when they would pour the oil on the high priest, it just went everywhere. What a sweet aroma it was. That's what unity is. Behold how good and pleasant it is when my people live in unity, God's saying. The oil helped the high priest do his job, which was reconcile people to God. Unity helps us reconcile people to God. We succeed in growing when we're in unity. How many people are going to say, hey, I want you to come to New Covenant, because boy, do we argue over the stupidest things sometimes. We argue about rooms. We argue about whatever. If you have a dysfunctional family and you're dating somebody, you're not going to say, hey, this is going to be a trip. It makes Chevy Chase Vacation look like a mild ride. They want unity. You know why I came to New Covenant decades ago? Because there is peace here. People talk to me. They talked to me. And they listened to my answers, and they cared for me, and they prayed for me, and it was genuine. And this church is full of that. Yes, I know we've been through things these last few years, but I'm pumped up because God is doing a new thing. And God wants us to be encouraged, because the enemy is going to lie to us, and he's going to talk about disunity, and he's going to talk about things that God doesn't want us to think about. You can't tolerate disunity. When you have people murmuring, then what you have to do is you have to call them on it. I remember years ago, I'm brand new to the church. Pete Mayer is the pastor. He put me in this small group. I found out later because there was troubles in that small group, and he knew I talked to him about it. So I went to him one day, and I'm a 24-year-old kid, and I'm just complaining. And he listened to me. Then he looked me in the eye and said, I'm giving you 2 weeks to talk to that person, or then I'm gonna, because now you're just complaining. So when somebody comes and goes, that Beaumont, yada, 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 listen to him, then go, I'm gonna give you a week to talk to him, or then I'm gonna. Because if you listen to that without doing anything about it, you're sowing disunity, and God the Father isn't down there going, up there going, way to go. He's shaking his head. Is it going to come? Yes, it is. It is absolutely going to come, because that's what happened when change comes. I told you about my poor wife getting new bowls a couple months ago, and I thought the world was going to end. She did keep one old one. She goes, here, I did save you one. So life is now good for me, because I have my old bowl of 10 or 15 years. Isn't that stupid? Just like all of us. A couple years ago, I did something really stupid. We're in Florida, Cocoa Beach, on vacation, and I told you this, so I'm not going to dwell here. So I thought, wouldn't it be really cool to rent a kayak? We'll go on this tour at night in Florida in July. Now, I don't know if you know, but it's hot. And we didn't get any lights except these stupid, I kid you not, Harborfest glow-in-the-dark necklaces that you put around your neck. And we're going through mangrove things where it was this high, literally, and this wide. And halfway through they said, oh yeah, we had a double kayak that was defective. And you know what I found out? Because I was in the back. If Melody was rowing one way and I rowed the opposite, you can do circles. They got so tired of us, even though they're supposed to be liable, when it got done, they just let us lag behind. They said, forget these locals. So what am I trying to say? As a church, I don't want to go in circles. I don't want you to row that way while I row this way. Let's row together. I'm not saying you're going to agree with everything, but like when I used to talk to the pastor and I disagreed, guess what? If it wasn't sin, then I'm not going to be mastered by my opinion. But let me say one thing about that night in Cocoa Beach. I saw the dead come back to life. Because when they said, see that light over there? That is the end. You never saw a woman roll so fast in her life. The front end of our kayak was up in the air. We went so fast. We beat them all. Why am I talking about unity? Why did Mike talk about it a couple weeks ago? Remember we talked about the Tower of Babel? When God crushed mankind's unity because they weren't building God's way. Because, church, we got to be ready. I'm not disqualifying my generation. Please don't hear me say that. But I know I'm not the future of this church. I know I'm a foundation builder. I know that God is going to bring more people. He's going to bring more people in worship. He's going to bring more people. He's going to bring people on staff. And they may not do things our way. Huh. But how about if they do it God's way? I want to talk about this because you remember the parable of the 10 virgins? Well, the bridegroom came. 5 were ready. They had the oil. They had everything. They were good to go. 5 weren't ready. 5 weren't ready. They got left behind. They got shut out. I'd never want to get shut out from what God's doing. I want to be ready, but it doesn't come if you're not praying for the church. It doesn't come if you're not praying for your attitude. It doesn't come if you're not reading the Bible. You have to be a student of God's word. It doesn't come if you're not in fellowship because God made us to be relational. So we need to be prayerfully seek God and be prepared. As I come to a close, I want to summarize quickly. God emphasizes how important unity among believers is to him. In John 17, Jesus prays that we would be like he is with the Father. Think about that. That's available to us if we lay ourselves aside and submit to Jesus Christ. Unity requires humility on our part. As we surrender and submit to God, I would ask you to do a word study on humility and see what God says about pride and what he says about humility. In a world of me, God asks us to focus on others and lay self-interest aside. We need God's help to live this way. We need the Holy Spirit working in us. When changes take place in a church, the uncertainty of what lies ahead can produce anxiety, which can lead to negative responses. Unity requires faith in the Lord, trusting him, not Jim, trusting him for directions. I'm kind of on a first name basis with him, so he lets me call him Jim. So Lord God, I thank you for what you're doing. I am excited for New Covenant Community Church. We are who you made us to be. We are who you made us to be. Who do I say you are? Jesus, you're my Lord. You're my leader. You're my Savior, which means you rescued me from hell. You paid the price for my sins on that cross. As your word says, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of life, Jesus Christ. And when I went to you, Lord, and I said, please forgive me for my sins. I want you in my life. I'm going to live for you and not me. Lord, I'm forgiven. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in this church. Lord, I anticipate the future. I look forward to it. Do I know I am going to be challenged? Absolutely. That's where faith comes in, Lord God. Lord, I do thank you for what you're doing. As you bring us together in unity, Lord, it's like the oil that you saved that was only for the high priest. That fragrance is what you smell, Lord, and you delight in when you see your children living in unity, Lord. We thank you for that, Father God. We thank you for our hearts and all that you're doing in this place, Lord God. Help us to not focus on me. You know it's easy to do, Lord. Help us to focus on you. Have your way, Lord. In your name we pray. And they all said, amen. Blessings and have a good day.